Some good reaction this morning to traffic in Wellington, how and where it's becoming worse in the last few years. This all, of course, as the Let's Get Welly Moving project is taking feedback on some of its options to fix up our traffic around the inner city and further afield. A few issues with it all. It's a great pleasure to welcome in from Wellington Regional Economic Development Agency, or REDA, Interim CEO Derek Fry. Nice to see you, Derek. Good morning.
Hey, good morning to you.
Let's talk traffic, shall we? It seems to be in vogue at the moment. As an economic issue for Wellington, how big an issue is traffic?
Jason, it's enormous. And it's something that has consumed, I think, the Wellington community, the Wellington regional community, for a long, long time. We've just got to think about the history of what we call the inner city bypass, which was, I guess, glacial in terms of its progress. So it is a big issue, and economically it is enormous, given what we have expectations for our growth in terms of connectivity with the north, and the airport, just to name two key destinations.
So let's move on to Let's Get Welly Moving, because it folds quite nicely into that. Mm. What have you made of the options put forward to get Welly moving? Four of them, I think.
We're taking a position that we recommend and will be submitting favourably on option D. We'll also make a comment that we think option A is probably, if nothing else, slightly antagonistic. That is to say, they've taken the F word out, the flyover, and they've replaced it with bridge. So I think that's going to it's kind of frankly a waste of time. I think some would say the Rolls Royce of option D is the way to go. It is the most comprehensive. It acknowledges particularly, I think, that the importance of cycle, walking, a much more holistic approach to transport, not just as a road, but as a statement of growth, a statement of urban improvement, a statement of improving people's quality of life, really.
It is the most expensive option, I think, isn't it, option D? I mean, are we able to afford these big expensive options?
Well, I think if we link, the growth the city's enjoying now, if we link our expectations around tourism numbers from the airport, we're going to we're going to need this. And if you consider the kind of lack of sequence that our current program is producing, then we've got a $2 billion road being constructed called Transmission Gully. That finishes 2020. And whilst option D is the longest, I think that it puts pressure on us to up our game in terms of getting some decisions made. And 2020 is not far away. We will be encouraging, Transmission Gully will be like a vortex. It'll be sucking transport into the city, and we will be coming right up against the Basin Reserve.
Do you hope that the progress that's made on this is not glacial? You mentioned that word before. Do you hope there'll be a bit more urgency about it?
Well, Jason, if we look at a couple of successes recently, and we're lucky enough, to look across at Pukeahu, and the fantastic progress was made with that cut and cover. We've improved. That's a statement of transport that improved people's lives. Now, it took empowering legislation to do that. But it's done. If we look at government intervention on the Kapiti Expressway, it's done. We're driving on it today. Now, I'm not for a moment suggesting that we short-circuit the consultative process, but I think that we've got to have some imperatives around when is this going to happen? You know, when do you think we could happen? You know, is it 10 years? Is it 15 years? So I think those things, giving Let's Get Welling Moving a target, and then they can work back from that.
Yeah, I think you're dead right, though. People want to know when, don't they? When. They want to have a time frame in their minds, and then they can get their head around and say, okay, well, if it's going to be 2020, I can live with that. Obviously, this isn't going to be 2020, but with Transmission Gully, they know, okay, I can live till then to see that road, you know, actually come to fruition.
Absolutely. Yep.
Let's talk a couple of other matters. We've been told recently REDA generated millions in visitor spending, 300 new jobs. Must be quite nice validation for what REDA is all about. Those are good numbers.
Yes, Jason, it's been a challenging year for REDA for a variety of reasons, but we've worked really hard at rendering down, if you like, what we have achieved. And, in that area of growth, we think we've made some gains, as I say, in terms of job growth, in terms of tourism numbers, new startups, the Lions Tour in terms of economic return. So I think they're as important things, and it's not unreasonable for people to have those expectations of us, you know.
How do you quantify your influence on these things? Because I guess people would say, oh, okay, some of them might happen anyway, with or without Reader, but can you sort of drill down into finding some direct influence you've had?
Yeah, so if we look at that, in fact, I presented the Regional Council yesterday and we had the same question, and it's not unreasonable. If we look at the Lions, now people say they're coming anyway. Well, yes, they were. They were coming to New Zealand. They had three tests, and you know, New Zealand rugby run a bid process, so they know the value of their product. So we had to make a bid, and in that, as part of, we believe, a very good relationship with NZR, we negotiated the Hurricanes game. Mm. Now, those things just don't happen. NZR are nakedly commercial about these things, and so we had to then broker a relationship on how we could provide some funding and do the deal. Now, what we think probably $37-40 million into the economy as a result of that. So that was a direct influence and leadership position we took on that. Others, you're right, we have a brokerage relationship, a slightly softer. But if you look at the area of tourism marketing, our work and all of those channels, we're doing it. We are up there doing it. Our business events team, they've seen a 5% increase in the Convention Bureau, and they're the people who are out there. They're on the east coast of Australia selling Wellington's venues. That's pretty good because Wellington's venues are kind of taking a bit of a hit at the moment. Mm. So we're delighted, particularly because of that. But there are many areas where, like that, that we have a direct leadership and KPIs that are set that we've got to do it. Yeah, it's us.
Joined in studio by interim CEO of Reader, Derek Fry. Let's look ahead, Derek. 2018, I see the Big Six. You've brought in the collateral here. The 2017-18 Reader Big Six.
Yeah.
Six big projects for the next 12 months. Can you take us through them?
Yeah, we established these, Jason, in some ways kind of related to your last question. So what do you guys do? And that's what, in my role, that's the constant question. What do you guys do? So being kind of a mechanical sort of a bloke, I thought, let's get down to some projects here and what we actually do. So the top end, of course, is that we want to supercharge Wellington events, and we've set ourselves some new targets on getting new events. We've got the WOW's 30th anniversary coming next year, and we want to up our game in terms of attracting more multi-day conferences. So those things are quantifiable, directly accountable. Justin Lester has made it very clear that he wants the city to optimise its significant investment in the future in the arts. And that's not just the cities, that's across our learning institutions, etc. So we're saying we want to pump New Zealand's creative art. So again, we want to have more events, work with the festival, develop a stronger relationship with the ballet and NZSO. And also broaden our support and promotion of the creative industry. So we have, you know, extraordinary areas of creativity in this city. And so that's another one. Big projects, that's kind of me in a way. We've got to, you know, for me, life's getting shorter and I haven't got the patience or the time, you know. So we've got to get on with this stuff.
Yep.
So we're doing that feasibility on the new indoor arena. We're working hard on that convention centre, film museum, to get that cracking. And, of course, you know, our position that we're taking on infrastructure generally, particularly in the transport area. Talking up the tech, you know, the high-tech community in Wellington is enormous and extraordinarily innovative. And so, again, that's a focus for us, supporting startups, particularly through Creative HQ. And, you know, we've had some great success with that. Education, we are unique. You know, we have significant number of colleges, high-quality colleges and learning institutions and universities. And we've seen massive investment of those at Massey, at Te Awaha, at the Creative Campus in Miramar. So we've got to push and promote and market the city as a place where creative people want to come and optimise those things. And finally, we've got to get closer to business. So whilst we've had an emphasis on perhaps the SMEs, we've got a program coming up in the new year to understand the motivation and aspirations of some of our big employers and how we can help them. So that's in a nutshell.
Yeah, well, six great aims, yeah. Supercharge Wellington events, pump New Zealand's creative heart, accelerate the big projects, talk up tech, sell the student city, and ramp up business growth. It's a busy 12 months coming up for you, Derek, by the sounds of this.
Indeed, yeah.